الحمد لله رب العالمين رب الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم صدق الله العلي العظيم
صلوات على محمد وآل محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. All praise is for Allah, Lord of the worlds, the most compassionate, most merciful, master of the day of judgment. You alone we worship and you alone we ask for help. Guide us along the straight path, the path of those who you have blessed, not that of those who you are displeased with or those who are astray. Alif Lam Mim. This is the book, there is no doubt about it, a guide for those mindful of Allah, who believe in the unseen, establish prayer, and donate from what we have provided for them, and who believe in what was revealed to you, O Prophet, and what was revealed before you, and sure have faith in the hereafter. It is they who are truly guided by their Lord, and it is they who will be successful. As for those who persist in disbelief, it is the same whether you warn them or not. They will never believe. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you everyone for joining us tonight in our program from Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Just before we start, I know there's space tonight, but if we could just still move forward a little bit just in case other people come. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli. Inshallah, just a few announcements before we start the speech. First of all, I just wanted to mention that there are still sponsorships available if you would like to take advantage of that. There's a variety of methods to do the sponsorship. You could follow the link, inshallah, in the email, and you'll see the options. You could do it through card, cash, check, or, for example, Zelle, inshallah. You could do that online, or you could give myself or one of the other volunteers any cash donations you would like. And also, I wanted to mention that it's not necessary to sponsor a night. If you would like to give a general donation, that's okay as well. And you could put the money, inshallah, in the box in the back. Or the other options that I mentioned as well, inshallah. Also, I would just like to request everyone to please do dua as well as recite a fatiha for those who sponsor dinner tonight, as well as for their families and their marhumin. With Allah, salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Also, I just want to make a friendly reminder. If we could just clean up after ourselves, both inside as well as outside, inshallah, we don't want the neighbors also to complain about any trash that's left outside. And it would be very helpful for the volunteers as well. If everyone just cleans up after themselves, it would be much appreciated, inshallah. Also, if something is brought from home, if you kindly bring something from home, and if there's any leftovers, if you could take it back, we would also greatly appreciate that, inshallah. Also, regarding the Ashura program, it's going to be on Monday, August 8th. It's going to be from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. During the program, we're going to have A'mal, followed by the Maqtal of Imam al-Hussein, followed by Latmiya, and then ending off with Salat al-Jama'ah, inshallah. I would just like to remind everyone again to please register for this event as well as the rest of the programs. And again, the reason why is so we don't overestimate or underestimate the amount of food we bring each night, inshallah. Also, if there's anyone in the community that maybe has a talent for reciting Latmiya, please let myself know or Brother Rida Mansouri or one of the other volunteers. And sometimes we have openings and we would greatly appreciate if you have the talent of reciting for you to recite for us at Yasin, inshallah. Next, I just wanted to announce that inshallah Sayyid Ali Jafari will be leading Salat al-Jum'ah in Masjid al-Rasul, which is in Watts. So if you're in the LA area and you would like to take advantage of that, it'll be at 1 p.m. in Masjid al-Rasul. And alhamdulillah, that's it for the announcements for today. Please help me invite Sayyid Ali Jafari with a loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم أخرجني من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمني بنور الفهم اللهم افتح علينا أبواب رحمتك وانشر علينا خزائن علومك برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد صلى على محمد وآل محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين أما بعد Brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum jamian wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaika ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bi fana'ik alaikum minni jamian salamullahi abadan ma baqit wa baqiya al-layl wa al-nahar wa la ja'alahu Allahu akhir al-ahdi minni li ziyaratikum. Assalamu ala al-Husayn وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. We are talking about the fall of the elite. And we are talking about it during these special nights, these nights where the doors of Allah's rahmah are open, these nights where we have the proximity to gain nearness to the Ahlul Bayt, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's something special about these nights, brothers and sisters. A man once came to Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salam, and he asked him, he said, what is it that's so special about the Qur'an that the Qur'an never seems to get old? I read the Qur'an, I gain something from it. I read it 2 weeks later, 10 weeks later, 10 years later, and I'm still gaining benefit from it. What is it about the Qur'an? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam responded. He said, does the sun ever get old? Does something that gives you light get old? Does something that gives you life get old? Does something that gives you what you need get old? And Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, may Allah preserve him, he said the same is true for Ashura. Ashura, brothers and sisters, it gives us light. It gives us life. It gives us what we need. And that's why, even if we are alive for another 100 years, we won't be able to do enough azadari for Hussein. We won't be able to do enough for Hussein. Right? And this feeling within us that there's not enough in this world, we can't praise Allah enough, we can't praise Ahlul Bayt enough, we can't cry for Imam Hussein enough, it's one of those fitri reasons that we know that there's an afterlife. Because we as human beings, we have the desire for that infinite goodness. Now, when we're talking about the fall of the elite, thus far, we've established something very clearly. I hope this is clear in all of our minds after we talked about individuals like Zubair, individuals like Osama, that whatever we've done in our lives, whatever good we've done in our lives, we should never feel comfortable. We should never feel like, okay, I'm okay now. The shaitan's not coming for me, right? The tests aren't coming from me. We've seen that individuals who have accomplished great things, who have helped and served the cause of Islam more than perhaps many of us will ever be able to, that they fell, that they failed their tests. Okay, and so what we're here in these nights to do again is not to point the fingers at others, but to point the finger at ourselves and say, how is it that I can learn from what happened to other people? We left last night the story at the Battle of Siffin. And we showed how Imam Ali alayhi salam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, Imam al-Muttaqeen, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Muhammad, Allahumma salli. We saw how Imam Ali alayhi salam had this great victory in the Battle of Jamal, and he was well on his way to a great victory in the Battle of Siffin as well. And that victory would have changed the course of Islamic history, of human history. We wouldn't have seen Muawiyah in power. We wouldn't have seen Yazid in power. We wouldn't have seen Banu Umayyah for 100 years in power. Right? Who knows? That may have been what happened. That we might not have seen those things. If it weren't for those individuals, that group that we spoke about yesterday, the Khawarij. Okay? What we said yesterday was that the Khawarij forced this arbitration. This sit down. This meeting that was supposed to solve the problems of the Muslims. They didn't want to listen to Imam Ali alayhi salam when he said, go forward for victory. They said, no, we're going to now sit down and we're going to discuss it. Despite the fact that Imam Ali alayhi salam had spent months trying to do just that. So what happened now was that each side was to select an arbitrator. Okay, now just imagine, put yourselves in the place of Imam Ali alayhi salam. You're being forced to stop the battle because of these individuals who lack basira in your own camp. And now when it comes to choosing the arbitrator, what you would expect, the very least, as the commander, as the khalifa, is that you are going to be able to select the arbitrator. So first, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, I would like to select Ibn Abbas. They don't accept it. They said, no, never. We won't accept him. He says, okay, Malik Ashtar. They say, no, we'll never accept it again. See? They say, if you don't accept Abdullah bin Qais, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. Say, you have to accept him. Now just imagine, put yourself in the place of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Okay? Imagine you're going to court today. Okay? Let's say I get off the minbar right now and I just grab your, you know, water bottle and I just walk out. And you're like, what's going on, you know? Now you got to go to court. Okay? You would like to select your own representative. Someone to represent you. Now I bring my friend. He wasn't even here. I say, yeah, this guy, he's gonna be your representative. And then I'll also select my representative. You're going to be like, what's going on? You know, I should be able to defend myself with someone of my choosing. With my selection. Okay? You know, it sounds kind of like the U.S. criminal justice system where, you know, on one side, the state is prosecuting people, and on the other side, if you're poor and you can't afford an attorney, the state gives you the defense attorney. You know, he was just going to lunch with the prosecutor and the judge 5 minutes ago, but now he's gonna, you know, care about you, right? So this is kind of the situation that Imam Ali was in. They said, Abdullah bin Qais. They said, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. Why was that problematic? Why was that not Imam Ali's first choice? Let's get into it. If you send me a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Okay, so what are we doing with each of the three people? Okay, what are we saying about each person? Three things, right? Who was he? What did he do? And why did he fall? Okay, even the young people, inshallah, they should have gotten that by now. Okay, so Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, who was he? Okay, his early history before the Battle of Khaybar, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, before the Battle of Khaybar, we're not really sure where he was. Okay, he was from Yemen. So the historians, they say there might have been two options. Number one, it might have been that the Holy Prophet sent him to Yemen to do tabligh, to do propagation of the deen in Yemen. The other option that the historians say is that it might have been in those early days, in the battles of Badr and Uhud and so on and so forth, that he was actually in Abyssinia. Because when Ja'far al-Tayyar came back from Abyssinia, it was around the time of Khaybar. And that's the same time that Abu Musa al-Ash'ari is back in the picture. Okay, so what's special about him? Remember, we're talking about the fall of the elite. We're not just talking about regular people. Right, we're talking about people who were at very high levels, people who were very close to the Messenger of Allah, people who were close to Imam Ali alayhi salam. So what is it about Abu Musa? He was someone that, according to some, they say that he learned how to recite Quran directly from the Holy Prophet, one of seven people. They say that he was somebody in some of the books. They say about the who were the fuqaha, who were the extremely knowledgeable people of the ummah of the Holy Prophet, of the community of the Holy Prophet. And they mention Imam Ali, of course, and they mention Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. He was known to be very knowledgeable. Okay? And the kicker, right? Even if we don't, I'm not going to spend a lot of time going into his life as we have for some of the other individuals, but this should be enough for you. In the year 10 after Hijri, meaning the year before the Holy Prophet died, the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad, he selected Abu Musa al-Ash'ari to be the governor of Yemen. Subhanallah. Meaning that the Prophet, close to the end of his life, found this individual suitable for a leadership position. Brothers and sisters, that's scary for us. We're talking about the fall of the elite. This is someone the Prophet believed from a perspective of ilm, from the perspective of amal, knowledge, so forth, that he was worthy of a leadership position. But now let's see what happens. Okay? So just like some of the other individuals that we mentioned, during the times of the Khulafa, when there were a lot of victories, we see that Abu Musa was heavily involved. And he went from being just like a faqih and someone who people would come for questions and for, you know, getting, you know, answering their ahkam questions and so on and so forth, and understanding how to recite the Quran and so on and so forth, the tafsir, he became a military leader. So when you look at who was involved in some of the conquests of Iran, Ahwaz, Isfahan, you know, my hometown of Qum, right? Who was the individual involved in leading some of those victories for the Muslim army? It was none other than Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. Okay? And this should be, you know, we've mentioned this a few times now, right? And so this should kind of stand out to us now, that when, brothers and sisters, when things are going good, right, when things are going really well in life, you gotta stay on your toes. That's a lot of when people end up falling, slipping and falling, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like we talked about in the first night, sometimes these tests are to call us back, right? It's to say, hey, look, I love you. I know you can do better than this. I've made you to be better than this. And you're slipping. Okay? And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends up some of these tests. So when times are good, brothers and sisters, don't just think that, okay, alhamdulillah, everything's good. You know, Allah is smiling upon me. All right, stay on your toes. Learn from the fall of the elite. Okay. So what did he do now? We said who he was. What did he do exactly? Right? And now we're going to go back to the before the arbitration. We're going to see that when Imam Ali alayhi salam comes into power, where is Abu Musa? Was he still the governor of Yemen? No. By that time, he had gotten kind of a promotion. Okay? So I believe at the time of the second Khalif, if I'm not mistaken, perhaps at the time of the third Khalif, but I think during the time of the second Khalif, he became the governor now of Kufa. Okay? So this is kind of like a promotion. Okay. And he remained in that position until when Imam Ali alayhi salam came to power. Imam Ali alayhi salam kept him in that position. Now, when Talha and Zubair did what they did, what we spoke about in that second night, okay, and they raised that army in Basra, Imam Ali alayhi salam said, okay, there's this army of 120,000, right? We have to gather the troops. And if you remember that night, I said that he sent Imam Hassan, he sent Malik al-Ashtar around to gather the army. And one of the reasons he had to send them to Kufa was because of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. Because what happened, brothers and sisters, was that Abu Musa didn't initially give bayah to Imam Ali. Just like some of the other individuals. He said, oh, let's wait and see what happens. Like, what do you mean what happens? Everybody's giving bayah to him. Everyone's accepted him. He's the most qualified. Everyone knows that. Okay, there wasn't even a question at that time. We talked about what Talha and Zubair themselves were saying to Imam Ali. But he says, oh, we'll wait and see what happens. The people of Kufa were so, excuse me, upset about this, that they came to him and said that, hey, look, if you don't do bayah of Imam Ali, there's going to be problems. Okay, they loved Imam Ali. So he gives bayah of Imam Ali. But now Imam Ali alayhi salam tells him that, hey, we need soldiers. We need to gather soldiers. And what does Abu Musa do? He mentions two things to the people. He says, number one, when I was with the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajah. Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. So Abu Musa now, when Imam Ali says, hey look, let's gather everyone, we need to get going and defend ourselves, we need to fight in the Battle of Jamal, Abu Musa says two things. He says, I heard the Holy Prophet tell me that when the time comes, the sedition comes, the test comes, where you'll see Muslims fighting Muslims, that to sit is better than to stand. Okay? He says, I heard the Holy Prophet say this, that to sit is better than to stand. The second thing he says is, he says, look, in the Holy Quran, Surah Nisa says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. It says, don't kill yourselves. He says, what this is talking about, you know, based on my understanding, my knowledge, my time I spent with the Holy Prophet, this is saying that don't kill other Muslims. Right, we can't do this. This is a big fitna. We can't go and fight other Muslims. Remember we talked about how Imam Sadiq said that there was a barakah in Imam Ali fighting against Ahl-e Qibla, because otherwise we wouldn't know the way that it had to be done, or that it needed to be done under what circumstances. So look at how Imam Ali alayhi salam, he responds to this. First of all, alhamdulillah, Imam Ali alayhi salam had great companions of the Holy Prophet around him. He had great supporters around him. One of them was Ammar bin Yasir. Okay. Ammar said, wait a minute, bro. Like, you're not telling the whole story. He said, I was with you when the Holy Prophet said that. And the Holy Prophet said, in the time of sedition, Abu Musa, it's better to sit than to stand for you. He wasn't talking to everybody. He was saying for you. He was telling you not to do what you're doing right now, which is standing up and talking and saying, don't go to battle. He was saying, no, when there's a time of sedition, when there's time of confusion, when it seems like the Muslims are going at each other's throats, you need to sit down. That's what the Holy Prophet was saying. I was there. Imam Ali alayhi salam, look, remember what we talked about, that principle of not giving up on other Muslims, of not jumping into confrontation with other Muslims, right? You hear that, you know, they send you a 30-second soundbite of something that, you know, I said, or, you know, some scholar says, and all of a sudden, let's forget about this guy forever. You see? We just jump to conclusions, right? Or you hear something, or somebody types something online, before asking them, hey, can I get some context? What's going on? Assalamu alaikum, brother. Assalamu alaikum, sister. We saw you said this. What's going on? Can we, you know, talk about this a little bit? Yeah, we're always jumping into conclusions. Look at Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says, Abu Musa, look, you're not seeing the whole picture from where you are. Come visit me. See the situation. And then you make your decision, whatever you feel is right. We see that Imam Ali's letters were not hitting the spot. It was not doing the job, right? Abu Musa was not convinced. So what does he do? He sends Malik-e Ashtar and Imam Hassan to Kufa. He starts towards Basra and he says, look, you guys go to Kufa and you handle what you have to do. You do what you have to do. See if you can convince him. If not, you have to move him to the side. Okay? So it's a beautiful and long story that I'm not going to go into, but it shows just the, number one, the political savvy, the oratory skills, the taqwa, the respect that Imam Hassan alayhi salam had in front of the people. You know, how he was able to gather 10,000 soldiers in a short amount of time, take them away from the influence of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, and basically bring them to the battle of Jama. Remember we said Imam Ali only had 80,000 compared to 120,000 on the other side. Right? Or excuse me, that was those were our Safin numbers. F1. Okay. I think the numbers in Jamal were closer to like, they were less. I'm not going to misquote them. Okay. But we're, you know, 40, 50,000, something like that. But anyways, there were less soldiers. Imam Hassan alayhi salam was later able to gather those soldiers for Imam Ali. And what happens there is that by the rule of Imam Ali alayhi salam, by the hukm of Imam Ali alayhi salam, by the order of Imam Ali alayhi salam, Abu Musa is cast aside. You're no longer in charge of Kufa. With all due respect, do what you got to do. Okay? He was left alone, do what you got to do. Now, let's fast forward to the end of this Battle of Siffin. Okay? Fast forward to the end of the Battle of Siffin. Abu Musa, who didn't support Amir al-Mu'mini in Siffin, in Jaman. Now, people are insisting that he represent the side of Amir al-Mu'mini. You see? Shows us the oppression that Imam Ali alayhi salam was facing from his own army. Okay? And so he had no other choice. Again, the Khawaj were there. They had their swords drawn. They said, this is how it's got to be. Right? There wasn't a small number of people. Right? So he had no choice but to accept this. And the arbitration began. Now, the terms of the arbitration, again, the perspective of some of the other Muslim brothers is that Imam Ali was okay with Abu Musa as the arbitrator. And here again, we have to point to the fact that Imam Ali had just removed him recently as his own governor, right? For him to now select someone who intentionally and openly was not in favor of this war as his representative, right? It seems far-fetched, okay, to say the least. But we see that the terms of this arbitration were what? They said, okay, look, we're going to sit down, one person from each side, Amr ibn As from the side of Muawiyah, someone who was in the war, and Abu Musa from the side of Imam Ali, someone who didn't even support the war, okay? And they are going to have 6 months to decide what's going to happen to the future of the Muslim Ummah. Who's going to lead it? What are the terms? So on and so forth. And this is where we see that Abu Musa makes his mistake. Where he is fooled into believing Amr. And basically, after 6 months' time, they reached the conclusion. There's some differences of opinion. According to some, they chose a third individual to be the leader. According to others, they said that neither of these two will be in the leader, and there'll be a new shura that we will select to choose a new leader. Okay, but in either case, what they had agreed to behind the scenes, when these two individuals spoke, was that Muawiyah won't be the leader, and Imam Ali won't be the leader. Okay, so now the whole war has stopped. These individuals on both sides, the armies, they're waiting for 6 months, right? And even longer than that, according to some sources. And what happens? Abu Musa and Amr, they come in front of everyone. And Amr says to Abu Musa, you go first and tell them. And Abu Musa says that, you know, as with my authority as the, you know, arbitrator, I remove Imam Ali from the Khilafah the way that I remove this ring from my finger. Okay? And now he says, okay, your turn. Amr goes up there, and he says, Muawiyah is still the Khalif. Okay? You see, Muawiyah is the Khalif. You see, he doesn't take his ring off his finger. He doesn't say that we agreed to what they agreed to. And here they start cursing each other. They start going back and forth. You see, one of them calls him some name. And then, you know, Amr responds by quoting, you know, Surah Jum'ah and calling, you know, Abu Musa something else. And, you know, things fall apart. Everyone goes back and, you know, starts preparing for a battle again. Okay? And Imam Ali alayhi salam couldn't go to battle again at Siffin again with Muawiyah's forces because we spoke about it yesterday, because of Nahrawan. Okay, so this is what Abu Musa did. And it was something that Imam Ali alayhi salam was very upset about. Now, in my, you know, research, you know, I've probably been looking at these stories and these things for the last couple of years now. I've rarely seen a situation, or I probably haven't seen a situation or an individual that Imam Ali alayhi salam was so upset with. Like, we have a tradition where Imam Ali alayhi salam mentions Abu Musa by name in his qunut. He was that upset with him. Okay? So this was the situation. Now, why did he fall? What are the lessons that we can take from this? Brothers and sisters, there's three things that came to my mind, and like always, these are just things that came to my mind, and I'm sure that you all can think of more profound and deeper lessons from this story. Number one is, we have this hadith, al-ilm huwa al-hijab al-akbar. Okay, that knowledge is the greatest of veils. Sometimes, when we gain knowledge, but we are not at the same time gaining taqwa or God consciousness, we're not working on those spiritual ailments in our soul, this knowledge, brothers and sisters, becomes a great obstacle to our spiritual progress. This is something that we all have to be cognizant of, because we all, alhamdulillah, are knowledgeable. We come to the majalis, we read books, we listen to lectures, right? We talk to one another, and we gain knowledge. But at the same time, after 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, has the amount of knowledge that we've gained, has that also, is that like, you know, equivalent to how much we've worked on ourselves? Or is that knowledge just information piling up, right? So I can ask you about, you know, let's say the ahkam, and you can tell me, but are you acting on the ahkam? Are we paying attention to our wajibat? Are we staying away from the muharramat? Okay, you can tell me all the conditions of when backbiting is allowed and not allowed, and what are the exceptions, but are you not backbiting? You see? This is very important, okay? And the more knowledgeable we are, the more important it is, right? And this is why it's so important, brothers and sisters, who you allow to sit on the minbar. Okay, it's very important. Because if we want to get real ilm, and it's something that we're going to talk about tomorrow, what is ilm in reality? Right? Imam Sadiq says it's a nur. Okay, we'll talk about that tomorrow. But it needs to come from those, like alhamdulillah, you're blessed with in this community, Haj Kothar and Sayyid Abbas. But it needs to come from people who are worked on themselves spiritually. People who are not just about talking about it, providing information, but that they're able to provide you with that nur. Okay, and we'll speak about that more tomorrow. The second lesson that I took away, brothers and sisters, is that for leadership, right, knowledge is not enough. Knowledge is a necessary condition for leadership within Islam, within our ummah, but it's not sufficient. Just because somebody has studied X amount of years or can teach you X, Y, and Z books or has a certain amount of knowledge, that doesn't qualify them necessarily for leadership. Leadership also takes basira, deep insight. It takes a certain level of people skills. It takes political acumen, right? It's multifaceted. It's not as simple as just knowledge, okay? And finally, is that we have to be careful, brothers and sisters, that we're not looking out for ourselves, that we're looking out for Islam. There was a conversation between these two arbitrators whereby you get the picture that there's a little bit of self-interest involved here. It's not all about what's better for Islam. And I'm not here to point fingers at Abu Musa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge best about him. But what I am seeing and what I do want to say is that sometimes we in the Muslim community, in the Shia community, sometimes we are not working for the interests of Islam and Muslims. Sometimes we're working in the interests of ourselves. We got to be careful. When you start to see those, for example, entering the political arena, and they're worried about getting the rights and getting their, you know, what's best for Shias, you have to be careful here. We have to look at this carefully. Are we doing what's right for Islam, or are we looking at ourselves as just another ethno-religious group? Just the same way the Jews go and, you know, enter into, let's say, the political arena, or certain Christians groups to go. Are we just going and trying to mimic their, you know, PACs and their, you know, lobbyist groups or whatever, and trying to do the same thing? If we are, then we have to remember this arbitration, brothers and sisters. Because we have a higher hadaf. We have a higher goal. Our goal is that of the Imam of our time. Our goal is that of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. It's the guidance of the people. Yes, we do defend ourselves. Yes, we do make sure that we get our rights. but not at the expense of the guidance of the people. If the people are seeing us, for example, in a certain coalition, or that they just see us as Democrats, for example, or Republicans, or whoever comes along, or whatever group comes along, and they don't see us as Muslims first and foremost, then we got to question ourselves. Are we really guiding the people by this way? Right? I'm not saying that we don't enter the political arena. I'm not saying that we don't support certain groups or other groups. It might be fine, right? But it needs to be done with our Islamic identity first and foremost intact. That people, when they see us, they still see us as those lights of guidance, as those torches that are paving the way for the Imam of the time. Okay, so this is very important. So these were some lessons that we take from this, brothers and sisters. Inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who act on these words. Send me a salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So this was Abu Musa, and tomorrow we will complete our discussion of the Battle of Siffin before we move into the fall of the elite in the Quran, and then the fall of the elite in Karbala. Brothers and sisters, we're talked about today somebody who went from being selected by the Holy Prophet, handpicked, to being mentioned and being prayed against by Imam Ali in his Qunut. That's no small thing. It's serious. We talked about yesterday how there was an individual in this same Battle of Siffin who came and saw Imam Ali alayhi salam talking about the Shuhada of Karbala. And then he was in the army of Yazid in the year 61 AH. And he tells Imam Hussein that he's still not going to support him. You see, brothers and sisters, whether or not you support the Imam when he comes, it's not about that decision on that day. It's not that the Imam is going to show up in 2027 or 2025 or 2023, inshallah, and you're going to be like, yes, let's do this. It's not about that. It's about today. It's about tomorrow. It's about what you're doing every minute until then. That's going to decide when the test comes, how you're going to respond. Right? If you give me a calculus test right now, it's not going to be like, okay, I'm going to make this decision if I'm going to pass this test or not. No. Did I study for the calculus test? Did I study for the history test? Did I study for the spelling test the last few days, the last few weeks, last few months? That's going to decide if I pass the test. And that's what we see, brothers and sisters. This individual is not just making a decision on Karbala that, hey, I'm out. No. It was all of his life he had been making that decision. It just manifested itself on that day. All of his life, Hura had been making that decision by praying on time, by loving Fatimah al-Zahra. It manifested itself on the day of Ashura. We have to make decisions. The fall of the elite is happening to you every single day. You have to decide. But some people, brothers and sisters, they don't run from the battlefield. Rather, they run to the battlefield. Ayatollah Jawadi Amuli, he says that the shuhada, they gain the ma'rifah and the deep insight and the deep understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we as scholars like Ayatollah Jawadi, that we as philosophers, that he as an arif, that they try their whole life to gain. The shuhada gain it in one moment. This is the shuhada. And these were the shuhada that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was speaking to on the night of the 9th of Muharram. When he said to them, I extol God by the best of extolments, and I praise Him on ease and difficulty. He said, O God, I praise Thee, for Thou has honored us by prophethood, taught us the Quran, and given us insight. He then said, Truly, I do not know any group of companions that are more loyal and better than my companions, and no household that is more benevolent and affectionate than my household. May God reward you the best of rewards on my behalf. So think of the companions we've spoken about, Habib, Hur, those we haven't spoken about, Zuhair. The family like Abdullah, he said, all of you may go. There is no obligation upon you. I have excused you. I hold no claim or pledge of allegiance over you. This is the night that has covered you. So mount it and ride as a camel. Ya Abdullah, what would we say? Inshallah, we would answer it like Abbas, like Zuhair, who stood up and one by one they expressed their loyalty. They said, where should we go, Abu Abdullah? How can we live without you? What is life without you? We wish we had many lives to give for you, not just one. Brothers and sisters, but there was one individual who was worried on that night, because he wasn't sure if he would get the permission to fight. He was Qasim ibn Hassan. It was Qasim, the son of Imam Hassan. Remember, we spoke about Imam Hassan last night. We said that when Imam Hussein came to the bedside of Imam Hassan, who was in pain, who had been poisoned by his wife, we see that Imam Hassan said this famous phrase, La yawma ka yawmaka ya Aba Abdullah. There's no day like your day, ya Aba Abdullah. You see, maybe Imam Hassan knew that although I have been poisoned by water, but Aba Abdullah won't even be offered poisoned water. Maybe he knew that my 3-year-old Qasim, it's difficult for me to say goodbye to him. My 1-year-old, my 2-year-old, Abdullah, it's difficult for me to say goodbye to him. But how difficult will it be for Imam Hussein? What condition will it be? Because brothers and sisters, there's one time where you say goodbye to your children and you leave them with family and you leave them with friends and you leave them with a home and you leave them with shelter and you leave them with health. This was the state that Imam Hassan left his children. It hurt. But there's one time when you leave an Abdullah and his arm is hanging and his neck is bleeding and the enemies are coming to trample on his body. Brothers and sisters, that night, Hazrat Qasim was worried. He wasn't worried about what most 13-year-olds are worried about. He was worried what a lover is worried about. And this is why we need to turn our children into lovers, brothers and sisters. Lovers of Abu Abdullah. Lovers of the Imam of the time. That's the key. Qasim said, oh uncle, you have promised my uncle Abbas, you have promised Ali and Al-Akbar, you have promised these great companions. The greatest of promises. You have promised them heaven. You have promised them that meeting with Allah. You have promised them shahada. But what about me? Am I included in that promise? Imam Hussein asks him, he says, O Qasim, how do you find death? How do you see death? Qasim responds, Ahla min al-asal. He says, sweeter than honey. It's tastier than honey for me. See, this is the word of a lover. This is the word of an arif. But the next day, brothers and sisters, it was difficult for Imam Hussein. Because when he looked at Qasim, He's remembering his brother. He's remembering Imam Hassan alayhi salam. It says, ثم خرج من بعده قاسم القاسم بن حسن عليهم السلام وهو غلام صغير لم يبلغ الحلم. It says Qasim ibn Hassan was next to go for the battlefield, and he was young. He didn't even have facial hair. When Imam Hussein looks at him, he begins to cry. He begins to remember that Qasim's older brother had just went to the battlefield and lost his life. He begins to remember that Imam Hassan had entrusted Qasim to Imam Hussein. I wonder what he was recalling when he hugged him, when he began to cry, when they both began to cry. Perhaps he was recalling the way that his father hugged him on his deathbed, the way Imam Ali hugged Imam Hussein on his deathbed. فَأَبَى الْحُسَيْنَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ أَنْ يَعْذَنَ لَهُ. Imam Hussein refused to give him permission at first, according to some traditions. And he wouldn't accept it until Qasim begins to kiss the hands of Imam Hussein. He begins to kiss the feet of Imam Hussein. He says, Ya Abu Abdullah, what is life beyond you? How can I sit here and see what's happening to you? He says, Ruhi li ruhika al-fida, nafsi li nafsika al-wiqa. He's crying, he's shedding tears, till finally Imam Hussein does what he knows he has to do. He gives him the permission. It says that when Qasim left the tent, فَخَرَجَ وَدَمُوعَهُ تَصِيلُ عَلَى خِدَّيْهِ. He says he left the tent while tears were rolling down his cheek. What can a 13-year-old do against an army of 30,000, brothers and sisters? But this wasn't any 13-year-old. This was the son of Hassan. This was the grandson of Ali. He went to the battlefield. They say that we saw a radiant moon coming to the battlefield. That's what it says here. But what's not written here, brothers and sisters, is what I've seen in other books. It says that as he came to the battlefield, we saw that one of his sandals was broken. This was the state of Imam Hussein and his family at this time. He said, إِن تَنْكُرُونِي فَأَنَا نَجْلُ الْحَسَنِ سِبْتُ النَّبِيَ الْمُصْطَفَى الْمُؤْتَمَنِ. He says, if you don't know me, then I am the son of Hassan, the grandson of Mustafa, the trustworthy. It says he fought bravely, brothers and sisters, until he killed not one, not two, 35 of these cursed people. He sent them to the hellfire. But Qasim was 13 years old, brothers and sisters. They said the armor was too big, it wouldn't even fit on his body. Finally, from all sides, they came upon him. They couldn't defeat him one on one. They came from him from all sides. حتى ضرب رأسه بالسيف, until they hit his head with the sword. فوقع غلام لوجهه وساح يا عما. He fell to the ground. He called out, "Oh my uncle!" We see Imam Hussein. It's he came to the battlefield like a lion. He attacked the enemy. He scattered them. But Qasim, he would have the same fate as his uncle, brothers and sisters. As the army began to scatter, they began to trample over the body of Qasim. He was still alive. The horses trampled over him. They say the horses trampled over him. Finally, Imam Hussein cleared the area. He came to the head of Qasim. They say that Qasim's feet were banging against the floor, were hitting the floor in pain. Imam Mahdi mentions this in the ziyarah. He says, peace be on the one whose feet were hitting the floor in pain. Imam Hussein says, it's difficult for me that you called me and I couldn't answer you. That you asked for help and I couldn't help you. وَسَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيُّ مَنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون بك يا الله 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 بمحمد بعلي بفاطمة بالحسن بالحسين. Oh Allah, we ask you for the sake of Qasim ibn Hassan to forgive ourselves for all, forgive us for our sins, forgive our parents, forgive all of our teachers for their sins. Oh Allah, we ask you for the sake of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, to keep us on the right path, to keep our children on the right path until our last breath. O Allah, we ask you for the sake of Fatima al-Zahra, to hasten the reappearance of the Imam, and to make us his helpers when he comes. Wa akhira da'wana, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.
السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتك. Everyone together. السلام على الحسين. Every night I remember you. Every night I remember you. On the day of regret, won't you look at me too? All of the pain that I've been through all goes away every night that I call on you. All of my life I wish I knew I could be at your shrine if I just cried for you. You were my first love on this earth. My heart has been burning for you ever since birth. Ya Sayyid al-Ahrar, Ya Abu Abdullah, Ya Sayyid al-Ahrar, Ya Abu Abdullah, Ya Sayyid al-Ahrar, Ya Abu With my last breath, I hope to see your face above, telling me that you accept me. I wish I was in Karbala, for you I'd die instead of the son of Layla. My chest for you until today is a shield. I hope to die while on your way. Every night I remember you. On the day of regrets, won't you look at me too? Ya Sayyid al-Ahrar, Ya Abu Abdullah, Ya Sayyid al-Ahrar, Ya Abu Ya Sayyid al-Ahrar, Ya Abu Abdullah, Ya Abu Abdullah. Please stand for let me.
Ya Abu Abdullah, 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 Ya Abu Abdullah. Night before Ashura, the camp of my Mawla,
night of supplication for the son of Zahra, for the son of Zahra. Each of the companions pledging their allegiance, showing their love for him, showing their obedience, showing their obedience. Qasamnu for him, it will be harder. How could Hussein lose again his brother? How would Qasim ask? He knew Hussein fears. How Qasim would ask? He knew Hussein fears. How just him asking would take Hussein years? Ya Abba Abdullah, Ya Abba Abdullah, Ya Abba Abdullah, Ya Abba Abdullah. Nephew to his uncle, Qasim went to Hussein, soldier to commander. How Qasim asked in vain, give permission, master, am I not your lover? How can I let you go? What will I tell brother? What will I tell brother? How Qasim cried, he poured out all his heart. How Hussein tears poured it, rips us apart. Qasim then began to kiss Hussein's hands. Qasim then began to kiss Hussein's hands. Permission given, Qasim makes a stand. Qasim makes a stand. Ya Abba Abdullah,
Ya Abba Abdullah, Ya Abba Abdullah,
Ya Abba Abdullah, Ya Abba Abdullah. Qasim rise to battle, Qasim rise to battle. His uncle's eyes on him, with his father's prayers. His heart now lies in him, his heart now lies in him. How he fought till he could, how their dear father would. The love for his uncle, that's all he understood, that's all he understood. Struck upon his head, he fell from his right. Struck upon his head, he fell from his right. Oh, Hussein reached Qasim, Karbala cried. How he was trampled, his body shattered. Hussein, you were late, Qasim lay scattered. Ya Abba Abdullah, Ya Abba Abdullah, Ya Abba Abdullah, Ya Abba Abdullah, Ya Abba Abdullah. بدم المظلوم، بدم العطشان، بدم العريان،
بدم ارباب، بدم المظلوم، بدم العطشان، بدم العريان، بدم ارباب. خدا قسمت کن بتونم باشم اربعین امسال حرم ارباب. خدا قسمت کن بتونم باشم اربعین امسال حرم ارباب. به هوای حرم با زائرای حرم، به هوای حرم با زائرای حرم. اربعین و جاده های با صفای حرم. از نگه داد خدا اگه طلب کرد آقا، از نگه داد خدا اگه طلب کرد آقا. وعدگاه اجتماع شیعه ها کر بلا به اذن مولانا امیرالمؤمنین، به اذن مولانا امیرال. فنحن زوار الحسین فی الاربعین، فنحن زوار الحسین فی بإذن مولانا امیر المؤمنین، بإذن فنحن زوار الحسین فی الاربعین، فنحن زوار في الاربعين. وهو المشعر وهو الزمزم وهو الكعبة وهو المولى. كاروني از سمت این دنیا اربعین میره جنت الاعلا. کاروونی از سمت این دنیا اربعین میره جنت الاعلا. قافله قافله بی وقف بی فاصله، قافله قافله بی وقف بی فاصله. توی بین الحرمین میرسه با هر وله، هم پر از لذته هم نشونه بیعته. ظهر روز اربعین درکعت نافله، به فجر و به فرقان به طه به یاسین. فنحن زوار الحسین فل اربعین، به اذن مولانا امیر المؤمنین، به اذن مولانا. فنحن زوار الحسین فل اربعین، فنحن زوار اربعین، به اذن مولانا امیر المؤمنین، به اذن فنحن زوار الحسین فی الاربعین، فنحن مالنا الامل مالنا الميعاد مالنا الجنه غير كربلاء. مالنا الامل مالنا الميعاد مالنا الجنه غير كربلاء. عينها سالت عبرة شوقا صاحب الدعوة سيدة زهراء. عينها سالت عبرة شوقا صاحب الدعوة سيدة زهراء. اسمعوا بالندى لنا حفاظ على، اسمعوا بالندى لنا حفاظ على. حرم الله مسمى بابن مرتضى، حرم الله مسمى بابن مرتضى. فاطمة حاضرة وعينها ناظرة، فاطمة حاضرة وعينها ناظرة تكتب لكلنا شفاعة المحشرة وقالت الزهرة فيا رب آمين فنحن زوار الحسين في الأربعين بإذن مولانا أمير المؤمنين بإذن فنحن زوار الحسين في الأربعين فنحن لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله محمدا رسول الله لا إله إلا الله عليًا ولي الله عليًا ولي الله عليًا ولي الله ناد علي يا مظهر العجائب ناد علي تجد هنا لك في النوائب كل هم وغم سينجلي كل هم بعظمتك بعظمتك بنبوتك بنبوتك بولايتك علي 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 يا رب الحسين بحق الحسين اشف صدر الحسين بظهور الحجة يا رب الحجة بحق الحجة اشف صدر الحجة بظهور الحجة صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد إذا شئت النجاة فزور حسينا لكي طلق الإله قرير عيني فإن النار ليست مس جسما عليه غبار زوار الحسين السلام عليك يا وارث آدم صفوة الله السلام عليك يا وارث نوح النبي الله السلام عليك يا وارث إبراهيم خليل الله السلام عليك يا وارث موسى كليم الله السلام عليك يا وارث عيسى روح الله السلام عليك يا وارث محمد حبيب الله السلام عليك يا وارث أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام السلام عليك يا ابن محمد المصطفى السلام عليك يا ابن علي المرتضى السلام عليك يا ابن فاطمة الزهراء السلام عليك يا ابن خديجة الكبرى السلام عليك يا ثار الله وابن ثوره والوتر الموتور أشهد أنك قد أقمت الصلاة وآتيت الزكاة وأمرت بالمعروف ونهيت عن المنكر وأطعت الله ورسوله حتى أتاك اليقين فلعن الله أمة قتلتك، ولعن الله أمة ظلمتك، ولعن الله أمة سمعت بذلك فرضيت به. يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، أشهد أنك كنت نورا في الأصلاب الشامخة والأرحام المطهرة، لم تنجسك الجاهلية بأنجاسها، ولم تلبسك من ملهمات ثيابها. وأشهد أنك من دعائم الدين وأركان المؤمنين، وأشهد أنك الإمام البر التقي الرضي الزكي الهادي المهدي، وأشهد أن الأئمة من ولديك كلمة التقوى وأعلام الهدى والعروة الوثقى والحجة على أهل الدنيا. وأشهد الله وملائكته وأنبياءه ورسله أني بكم مؤمن وبإيابكم موقن، بشرائع ديني وخواتيمي عملي، وقلبي لقلبكم سلم، وأمري لأمركم متبع، صلوات الله عليكم وعلى أرواحكم وعلى أجسادكم وعلى أجسامكم وعلى شاهدكم وعلى غائبكم وعلى ظاهركم وعلى باطنكم، بأبي أنت وأمي يا ابن رسول الله، بأبي أنت وأمي يا أبا عبد الله. لقد عظمت الرزية وجلت المصيبة بك علينا وعلى جميع أهل السماوات والأرض، فلعن الله أمة أسرجت وألجمت وتهيأت لقتالك. يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله، قصدت حرمك، أسأل الله بالشأن الذي لك عنده وبالمحل الذي لك لديه أن يصلي على محمد وآل محمد، وأن يجعلني معكم في الدنيا والآخرة برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك. وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. وإلى أموات الحاضرين والحاضرات ومن مات على الإيمان، رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلاة.
السلام عليكم. صلوا على محمد وآل محمد. إن شاء الله, brothers and sisters, there's going to be food served outside, and if you would like to eat inside, we're going to put out sofras. Also, quick announcement. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Inshallah, I'm going to announce this again tomorrow, but I want to make sure to announce it now as well. Inshallah, there's going to be a youth session with Sayyid Ali Ja'fari. And it's going to be not here, but at the City of Knowledge. And it's going to be for ages 14 and up, inshallah. If you would like to take advantage of that, that will be this Saturday, inshallah. It's at 11 a.m. sharp at the City of Knowledge. And if you would like to take advantage of that, please do. Inshallah, I will announce it again tomorrow. Please do not forget the sponsors of tonight and keep them in your du'as. And please recite aloud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum. Sorry, one more announcement. Sorry, I promise. One more announcement. Inshallah, tomorrow, since it's Thursday night, we're going to do Dua Kumail. So instead of starting at 8 p.m. with Salah, it's going to start at 7:40, inshallah, with Dua Kumail. If you would like to listen to Dua Kumail, 7:40, we're going to start with that, followed with the rest of the program. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Boom, boom.